Blog Talk Radio.
Game time. This is Coach Bartley back again. I must say I have to apologize to everyone for missing last week. I had a death in the family. A real close cousin of mine passed away at the young age of 38. So we took some time to spend with the family, trying to reminisce, you know, the whole thing. Also, we had a death in the family from one of my defensive coaches. He lost his grandmother to cancer. So these last couple of weeks have been pretty traumatic, but I must say we're back again, full speed ahead, and we're just going. We just pick up from where we left off, basically. A couple of things that I do want to just kind of fill everyone in. As far as what I got going on and what the WFA has been going through, I'm sure everyone's heard the latest news that just transpired within the WFA, and that's our league president, Jeff King, who's been hired by USA Football. And his position within USA Football is the national director for minor league football. And with that being said, he runs the MLFA, which is the Minor League Football Alliance, and they are looking to do some big things within the organization. With that being said, hopefully we will have more influence, input with the women's football as well. So, again, that's, you know, something in the distant future. Also, we have some big things that have transpired within the Lynx organization. One of the big things is that we add several sponsors to our organization, which I am very, you know, glad to announce. And I will get to those names shortly. But again, that was the biggest news within the WFA, is Jeff King being hired by USA Football. Now, within the California Lynx organization, we have added three new sponsors to our long list of sponsors within our organization. One of the big sponsors is Pocket Sports Bar and Grill. They're going to be our official hangout spot for the Lynx after each and every game, video, party, you name it. That's probably like one of the biggest pickups for the Lynx right now, due to the fact that they also happen to be sponsors of my men's team, the South Bay Skulls. Also, we picked up Motel 6. Motel 6 is, again, a major contributor to the Lynx in regards to what they're offering us. And with the Lynx and the Pacific Division, we have also come up with the idea that each home team will host the visiting team. So with that being said, I've got one hell of a deal. So that is like major. Then we also picked up Powerade. And it's funny how we picked up Powerade, because they were just driving around and they stopped off over where we practice at, which is Maxwell Park, out of Anaheim, California. And they were out passing out drinks and stuff and wanted to take pictures with everybody. And it just so happens they bumped into the old Scarlet Red and White. And lo and behold, they snapped pictures, got to talking with the guys who was in charge of distribution in the Western region. And now they, as you know, they're part of the Lynx family. So, you know, I like to say thank you to all three entities that have partnered with us. That is probably, like I said, that's a big step and with more to come. Also, with that being said, we've had some other additions added to the family. We've actually hired Jeremy Meyer. I hired him to be my general manager. He was once part of the Quake organization, and it just so happened that he wanted bigger and better. So he sought me out, and that's exactly what he's getting, bigger and better, especially when it comes down to putting together new ideas, trying to put the Lynx out in the forefront as making the Lynx a family household name. So that's a big addition to the family. And then in the coaching staff, we picked up former defensive coordinator Manny Vega. He helped lead the LA Amazons to a Western Conference champion out of the NWSA, which is tremendous. And, you know, the Amazons have always had a very nice team, very competitive each and every year. So to pick up Manny, that was like a big plus. Within our organization as well. Not saying that I couldn't do it by myself, but, you know, it does make it a lot easier to have, you know, quality staff that can get the job done the same way you can. So that right there was tremendous. And we also picked up a couple other players. One of them who I will mention, and the other players that I will mention later on down the road. One of the players' name is Lisa Gibbons. She was a standout wide receiver, special teams, as far as kick returner from the Amazon. So to get her a part of the squad, you know, again, that just speaks volumes. So we're actually looking pretty good on the forefront. Go Lisa, number 9 rock. Yeah, she's an awesome athlete. So, yeah, we got a lot of things going on in the forefront. And I'm happy to say that the Lynx website reached the 15,000 mark. That just tells me right there, everybody wants to know what's going on within the Lynx organization. And, I mean, to me, that's like a major milestone. I'm excited. When I go on and I check to see what, you know, what the activity is, you know, just to see that was like, man, kick ass. I must be doing something right because everybody wants to know what's going on with the Lynx. So that right there, that says a lot. Tonight's show is going to be kind of like the same as it was 2 weeks ago. I'm going to leave an open forum for callers who want to call in. If they got topics they want to discuss, they're more than welcome to. If they have questions they want to ask, they're more than welcome to. You know, that sort of thing. And what happened to my window? Oh, wow. You know, my computer's acting a real butthole right now. So excuse me, you guys, because I got to try to log back into the chat room. Boy, this is a pain. Pain in the, you know what? Anywho, we're looking for some bigger and better things to happen within the Lynx organization. One of the big tremendous things is we're going to be moving our practice facility to Cal Poly Pomona. And that's going to start beginning of March when we start going into our weeknight practices, which that's going to be tremendous, especially, you know, this time around where, you know, I'm actually getting use of a quality facility. No more parks and things of that nature. We're going to be at a very nice place where my girls can actually get out there and run with the wind. And let's see. I mean, that's pretty much all that's going on with the organization. Looks like it's going to be a quiet night. I was expecting to see more people. Well, I guess some people just aren't aware that Coach Martley is back. And I'm ready to start it up again. So, if anybody have any questions out there in the chat world, you are more than welcome to ask them, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. One of the things that I want to talk about tonight is the evaluation of players, especially at this level of football. You know, sometimes I have to question, you know, the ideals and the thoughts that a lot of coaches are, well, you know, what they think they're doing or what they're trying to do when it comes down to, you know, evaluating players or placing them where, you know, where they need to be out on the field. You know, it's a little different when you're dealing with high school boys or men. And that respect, because they, you know, again, they've played for, you know, a good length of time. We're dealing with a situation where women who, you know, as we all know, are basically infants to this level of football. So the idea of trying to find a suitable position for them where they won't get hurt or damage their ego, that's like one of the biggest challenges at this level. So my question to everyone who's out there, how do you go about evaluating your players? How do you decide, you know, who can play what position, when and where? I'm looking for any kind of feedback. I know one of the things that I do when I go out to recruit is, you know, again, drills are made to help decipher, you know, what athlete can pretty much play a certain position. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that they can actually play a position. For example, if you take a running back, just because she's fast doesn't necessarily mean she's a running back. I see a lot of coaches, they take, you know, someone with speed and they think automatically that's, you know, the best position to put is, you know, someone who, you know, put someone in a running back position. You know, I've had running backs who weren't as, you know, as fast as a Dina House or a Monique Zaki, but they were better at the position because they knew how to read. And that's one of the key essentials to being a running back is knowing how to read the holes, knowing when and where to make your breaks, that sort of thing. Not too many people, I don't think, really understand what it takes to sit down and evaluate a player. So my thing is really looking at how a person is supposed to, how they maneuver, how they move their hips, looking in their eyes and being able to tell if they're using their peripheral vision or if they're just staring with blinders. Because you get a lot of athletes who are out there on the field, and trust me, they're just out there with blinders, and you just never know what they're going to do. So, you know, that's one of the big things I look at. Same with, you know, receivers. You know, got girls out there who can run, but can they run a route properly? Another good example would be if you sent a receiver out on a down and out pattern. How do you teach them to run the proper down and out? You know, it's one of those routes where, you know, you don't have to be fast. Look at Jerry Rice, prime example, greatest receiver of all time. Wasn't you know 4.2, 4.3, you know, lightning fast speed. In fact, if I remember correctly, Jerry Rice ran a 4.6 at the combine coming out of college. You know, when by receiver standards, that's slow. That's like possibly tight end speed, you know, fullback speed. You know, he wasn't a blazing fast receiver, but the one thing that separated Jerry Rice from each and every running back or receiver that have played this game was the fact that he knew how to run his routes and ran it precise. As I tell a lot of people, especially, you know, the young kids and the women, you don't have to be fast. You just have to run the routes correctly. And if they ran correctly, that's when you start getting separation from your opponent. That's what separates you from the rest of the competition. It's how well you can run a route and how precise are you. So it's a lot that transpires, and it's a lot that I look at when I'm out evaluating players. Same with linemen. You know, some linemen are not, some girls just aren't meant to play, let's say, on the offensive line. You know, that, you know, let's say tackle. Put a girl out there in a tackle, you just can't put anyone because she's got to be quick. Why? Because 99.9% of the time you got defensive coordinators who like to put a lot of speed on the end. So you got to have a lineman, a tackle who's comparable, who knows how to make those angles, the proper angles. Guards, you know, not every lineman can go out there and play guard. They need to know how to pull, and they got to be quicker. You know, usually the fastest linemen are the guards. Why? Because they have a lot more work to do. Your smartest linemen are always your centers. You know, I read in one book, and I wish I could remember the name of it, and one of my good friends actually refreshed it to me, that, you know, some people take their worst lineman and make them a center. Now, why is that? Well, two reasons. One, you figure if the weakest link in your chain is going to be in the middle, well, then you want to surround that link with links that are strong that's going to hold. It's almost like taking a chain and just kind of doubling up on it or a rope. Instead of making it look like one long rope, you got two, and you tie it around something. So you double the strength, its value, its core. You get a lot of coaches, yeah, they'll take their worst lineman and put them at center. And to me, it can kill you, but then again, it doesn't. Like I said, I wouldn't say I've taken my worst lineman, but I've taken, let's say, my smallest lineman and made them a center. And believe it or not, my smallest lineman has done the job and done it very well. Again, like I said earlier, the smartest linemen are usually your center because they're the ones who need the call and the set the tone for the other linemen. Because like most traditional huddles, when the quarterback's calling cadence, they actually send the center out first so the center can get a good observation as to what they're looking at as far as defensive front, you know, where the linebackers are positioned, and even where the safeties are positioned. So this is where, you know, the centers, they get out there and they, you know, they make the necessary adjustments. But again, it's about evaluating the player and knowing what type of player can fit that role. It's not an easy task, you know. And you know, being around such great coaches that I have been blessed to have had coach me, and working under them behind the scenes, you know, seeing what all transpires. You know, they've taught me how to really sit down and evaluate players, and it's amazing what you can find, you know, in a particular player. You know, I have one player right now who I'm gonna say she's not very big in stature. You know, she's not fast, but she's quick, and the one thing that sets her apart from everyone else. And believe me, she's a little sweetheart. She's, you know, she's just a tiny thing, and she's probably the most aggressive out there when it comes down to, you know, going for that ball. So it's a lot. Like I said, it's a lot said with that. And I've thought about using her as a running back, and I said no, just something's not right. You know, she's not a running back. Then I thought about using her as a receiver, and I said, well, I can use that receiver on some occasions, but when I had my scrimmage against the Breakers and I saw her break on a pass, I just knew automatically right then and there she's got the makings of a corner. And that's what she's going to be from here on out, corner. But, you know, it's about finding the players, you know, learning who they are and what their abilities are, and really just sitting down and just going through and evaluating them. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, and I'm not going to say that it isn't. It really is. Now, does anyone have any questions that they want to ask me? Now is the time. Going once, going twice. Wow, I take it nobody wants to talk to Anthony. Oh, boo-hoo. That's okay, though. That's quite all right. We will fix that. We will definitely fix that. But in the meantime, this is one of the things that, like I said, as a coach, we really want to focus on. And then here's the other part that, you know, that really gets me, because see, a lot of coaches they come in with a system, and they just run the system regardless of what type of athletes they have, and sometimes you really set yourself up for disaster when you do stuff like that. Me personally, I'm the type of coach where I design everything I do around the players that I have. So when you come up against me, it's not one of those things where, you know, you think I may run, you know, a spread offense 1 year, and I'm gonna come back the next year and run the same exact thing. It's not necessarily the case with me. You know, when I look at my personnel, and I see the type of personnel that I have, that's going to determine whether I need to go with an aggressive style or if I need to go conservative. But when have I ever gone conservative? Never. Those who know me, who've competed against me, they automatically know it. There's nothing conservative about me. Everything is aggressive, full head on, smash mouth, old school football, pure aggression and adrenaline. Nothing I can say or do is going to change that. But again, it's just a matter of how I go about things when I'm out there and I look at my personnel. Again, when I switch things up, like I said, you never know what type of offense I'm going to run. You never know what type of defense I'm going to run. I got one coach begging and pleading me to give him one of my playbooks. And unfortunately, like I told him, I got about 6 or 7 different playbooks in my head. And I never reveal them to anybody, you know. So for those of you who are kind of wondering what I do, you know, as far as plays are concerned, believe me when I tell you this. I have them all written down, but it's just a matter of when I want to use them and when I don't want to use them and what exactly is it that I'm going to use. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, again, those of you who want to know what I run, sorry, you'll have to find out when you compete against me and hope that you better hope that I run it again, but I wouldn't bet my paycheck on it. Let's see here. I'm one of the big things that I want to also mention and share with everyone is March 28th. Well, let me backtrack. One of the teams that was supposed to have been part of the WFA for its inaugural season, the Ventura Black Widows, they opted to sit out until 2010. Reason being, just the market for athletes out in Ventura County, it's a really tough market. I know because I lived out there for 7 years, and it was tough even for men to play out in that area. In fact, I remember the owner of my team moving our team down further into the valley to accommodate because of the fact that, you know, just, I mean, football is hard to sell over there. You get more love out of high school football than you do, you know, semi-pro or women. So Ventura County is a tough area to sell. Case in point, look at St. Bonaventure, Oaks Christian, Westlake, Thousand Oaks, Wyneme and Rio Mesa were powerhouses at the time. But so Ventura County is more of a high school football setting as opposed to minor league and women. So Ventura opted to sit out for the 2010 season. But they're also going, and they're doing exhibition games, eight-man exhibition games. They've teamed up with the All Valley Attack, who are also doing eight-man exhibition games. And I know they're going to be playing games against like Boise, and I believe there's one other team. Oh, out of another team coming out of Northern Utah, the Avalanche. So they're doing sort of an eight-man exhibition, and they've actually agreed to partake in an exhibition game against the Lynx. And our game is going to be played out in Fresno prior to the Central Valley Coyotes game that they have scheduled for March 28th against the, I believe they play against Stockton, the Stockton Lightning, March 28th. Our game is set to kick off at 2:30 out in Fresno. And in the case of you guys are wondering where the stadium is located in Fresno, it is at 700 M Street in the city of Fresno. Again, at 700 M Street, M as in Mary, in the city of Fresno. And like the Central Valley Coyotes, they are our big brother team that we've partnered up with, and they've agreed to let us use their facility. Once again, our game is set to kick off at 2:30. In Fresno against the Ventura Black Widow, and that will be an 8-on-8. Tickets are $10. You can get them on our website, and it is considered part of a fundraiser. So part of the proceeds will come back towards the Lynx, and I strongly suggest everyone please go out and buy your tickets because one of the things that I'm looking to do is donate to the youth flag football for the girls out there in Vegas. I know it was mentioned on the show last BJ's and on women's football talk this past Sunday, and I told them that I'm looking to donate to them as well, which I will be doing that here shortly. But as, again, back to what we got going. We'll be playing the Black Widows 8-on-8, 2 20-man halves. It's going to be intense nonstop, but the one thing that we're going to do is we're going to keep it as close to 11-man regulations as possible. Again, that's March 28th. Kickoff is at 2:30. After the game, we're going to go live. We're going to, you know, as both teams and our fans and friends and family are welcome to join us. We're going to go out and have dinner. We're going to be celebrating, you know, football at its best. And then we're going to come back and watch the Coyotes play, which I strongly, you know, ask everyone to attend because they're going to be giving us acknowledgments as well. Tickets can be bought. Like I said, tickets can be bought from our website. Just have to look in the LinkedIn. Everything that we do, you know, as far as reselling, is listed in the LinkedIn. If you have any questions, like I said, all my information is on my website. I'm very easy to get in touch with. My phone is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for those of you who don't know. So with that being said, you know, I look forward to seeing a lot of people there. I know we're going to get a lot of support from the MLFA team there in that area. you know, which I'm stoked about that. Mainly because one of our players, Lisa Gibbons, who also plays for the Central Valley Coyotes in the men's level. So there you go. She's bringing a big fan base, so I'm looking forward to seeing a large group coming from the Southern California region. What else were we looking at here? One of my big things that I'm happy is the fact that, hey, we ordered our uniforms and stuff today. Yay! My girls will be in pads within the next 2 weeks, and we will be hitting, and they're going to hit hard. I got a lot of girls who are very hungry, very eager to get this thing started, and I just can't wait. I cannot wait. Let's see. Are there other news around the WFA? Nah, not too much, really. Everything has pretty much been quiet on the Western front. I know we had one of our teams represented on Women's Football Talk this past Sunday, which was from the Cleveland Fusion. That was good to see. And like I said, everybody's been pretty smooth, you know, getting ready to transition to this 2009 season. If you go onto the WFA website, you can see some stuff happening with last year's 2008 national champions, the Houston Cyclones. The WFA has got a new fan site, as well as WFANSonline.com. So let me make sure I get that correct. Let's see here. It's WFANS.com. So those, I suggest everyone registers on there. Again, you can pretty much chat with everyone in regards to what's going on with the WFA and all that good stuff. I have, you know what, and as crazy as this sounds, I haven't even registered on it yet. I think I will tonight, just to keep everything legit. And let's see here. Ooh, we got a couple more people on the chat board, which is cool. There's a couple other things I wanted to discuss. I was hoping I would have more coaches online, because I wanted to ask them their opinion on what they feel is the best type of offense against, you know, certain particular defenses. You know, I just kind of want to get a feel for it. Not that I would use it, but I just want to kind of pick everyone's brain. I mean, me personally, I can come at anybody with anything, because again, I got about 6 or 7 different playbooks, and you just never know what you're going to get when you come up against me. But I like to hear what other people. I would like to hear what other people like to what they like to do against certain styles. Let's see here. We got Women's Sports Bar Network on the line. I was glad to have them aboard. Hey, way to go. Let's see here. Anything new? Anything else new happening? Yeah. Let's see what's happening in the IWFL world. I don't think there's a whole lot going on there. Has anyone been keeping up with the IWFL? I know I haven't. I've been so engulfed with what was going on outside of football, and you know what I've been adding on as far as my organization. I really haven't had time to see what's happening in the IWFL. But now I'm going to take a look. Okay, if my computer can hurry up and move along, here we go. The Nighthawks. Oh, that must be that's the Nighthawks, the Baltimore Nighthawks. That's the new team that's going to have their own show here on WF Women's Football Talk Continue. That's sweet. That is real sweet. We got Chicago Fours. Like I said, they've been pretty. Not a whole lot going on here. Not a whole lot. They've been just doing little bits and pieces of things here and there. Anyway, back to the WFA. And back to what we got going on here. Now, does anyone have any questions they want to ask me? Anything pertaining to football? I got a whole bunch of football stuff going on and just swimming in my head that I'd love to share with everyone. It is so quiet. What is up? Maybe it's the rain. Maybe that's what it is. All this rain that's happening here in California, you know, and the snow and the hail. I don't know. Maybe that's just slowing everyone down. What do you guys think? Like I said, I'm kind of lost here. I'm used to seeing more activity. Oh, I know what it is. Maybe I just need to start up a whole bunch of stuff again, huh? A whole lot of static. Well, you know what? I'll say that for next week. And, yeah, I'll say that for next week. All the latest gossip and, oh, trust me, I got a lot of gossip. A lot of gossip, but I don't want to get into it tonight. I'll wait till next week. Are there any teams in the San Fernando Valley? let me just let everyone, let me hip everyone to this. The San Fernando Valley, that's more like the country. You know, that's like the country part of Los Angeles. There is absolutely, positively jack crap in the San Fernando Valley, except a lot of heat. You go into Woodland Hills, Northridge, Simi Valley. You know, it's just a lot of heat. The last team that I knew of that was out in the Simi in the valley was the Simi Valley Swarm. And let's say they didn't last long, but that was a men's team. But other than that, nah, there's no team in the San Fernando Valley. There's still a team, the Valley Trojans, but that's a men's team, man. But that doesn't count right now. As far as women know, and that's actually an untapped market, believe it or not, because you actually do get some players that come from the San Fernando Valley to go come play in the inner city, you know. Yeah, so like I said, just none but horses and farm laying there, believe it or not. I know somebody's a little heated right now. But that's okay. It's all fun and games. But the San Fernando Valley, that would be an untapped market because no one's really looked into setting a women's team up in that area. I may have to look into starting up another team and moving them to the Valley. I may just start with two teams. I know that'd be a little difficult to run and hard to decipher, you know, who's going to be the best at what, but who knows? I may look into that. And I bet everybody's wondering, how can you start up two teams and be able to maintain both of them? Well, it's a bit difficult, but It can be done. I've seen it done. I may actually have uniforms set up for them already. Nah, that's just doing too much right now. Let me just focus on the links and go from there. But I've had the Valley be a good place to start a team. The only thing that I kind of worry about is the fact that it may be more like Ventura County, because that can be a hard market to sell. Because again, it's about trying to find, you know, athletes. You know, it's not a whole lot of schooling there unless you go over to Cal State Northridge or LA Valley College or Pierce College. You would have to start up something somewhere around that neck of the woods, Woodland Hills, Canoga Park area, Chatsworth. That, like I said, that would be a good region to start if you wanted to do something like that. But again, if you're going to start something, I would say the best time to start would be, I would say, around July, August time frame. You know, just start putting the word out, putting some feelers, kind of get an idea. I'm pretty sure you'll probably draw a good pool of players. Then you got to find coaching. And trust me, you don't want to get these garbage-ass coaches out in the valley. Trust me when I tell you this. So a lot of these coaches can't even coach their way out of a paper bag with two holes. So, but that's just my opinion. Any other questions? 1.5 million people in the valley. But, again, the valley is the country. Like I said, I'm just joking. I lived out in the valley for a little bit. It's hot, it's boring, and nothing to do. Any other questions out there, you guys, pertaining to football? Like I said, with some of these coaches, they just, you know what, I want to get some answers as to scouting and recruiting. You know, with the battle between the two leagues that are going on right now, there's a lot of feuding going on as far as trying to recruit players. Where do you draw, I mean, as an owner, a coach, how do you draw the line on when you can, you know, when to stop recruiting from other teams? It's a constant battle. Strangely enough, I don't see a lot. I see it a lot in the men's level, but I see it happening quite a bit here at the women's level. You know, how do we go about policing that? You know, there's always the ethics, you know, the respect that you can have, you know, from coach to coach. But a lot of times, you know, you got a lot of coaches who don't get along with each other. So how do we police that? I mean, that is something I'm looking for an answer to. You know, how do you police, you know, the recruiting between both leagues? Because I know each team make players sign contracts, but it's funny how those contracts only pertain to the illegal recruiting from, you know, going from team to team within that league. But how do you police when you got two leagues in the same area? That's my biggest question. And I know I'm going to carry that question over to next week's show, because I need some answers. You know, I see this happening a lot. And see, me personally, I won't take part in stuff like that. I don't feel the need to. If players want, that, you guys, I hit the wrong button on my phone. Back to what I was saying. I know. Like I said, I see this a lot happening a lot, and I won't take part in any kind of illegal recruiting whatsoever. Mainly, these are grown adults here, and I'm not one to sit here and try to say, well, my team is better than your team. However, I do hear that a lot going on. So my question to everybody is, how do you police this? And if anyone's got any suggestions, please let me know. Now, I know somebody's got to have some sort of idea. Hey, BJ, tell me what do you think? How do we go about policing this? I mean, from an IWFL and a WFA program, how do we police this illegal recruiting scandal that's going on? Almost as bad as the whole talk about steroids that's going on. But how do we police that? That's my ultimate question. Going once, going twice. Wow, you guys are dead quiet out there. What's up with you guys? You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me. Anywho, we'll do it like this. I'm going to let this question carry over to next week's show. In the meantime, we'll just move on. Again, and I'm going to do something. I normally don't do this, but I may have to do this just for the simple fact that there are some things that are just about to take place, and I have to take care of them real quick. So one thing I want to do is I'm gonna give everyone some props, some shout out to all my sponsors, Blog Talk Radio, Douglas Pads, Spalding, Adidas, Combined Insurance, PowerAid, Motel 6, Mr. Pocket Sports Bar, KLG Wigs, woohoo! The MLFA, Katie Insurance, the Women's Football Camping Conference, the Central Valley Coyotes, and the Arena Football League too. Those are our major affiliates, partners, sponsors, and then our ultimate sponsor, Gameware. I like to also give a shout out to the Women's Sports Bar Network, Insight. That's Women's Sports Bar Network .ing.com. They've been a partner with us for a while now, a couple months now. The Women's Tackle Football Group, Inc. Board. Again, I've been partners with them since they first began, and this has been a wonderful year so far. 2009 has been a blessing for the Lynx, and I see more blessings coming. I don't know if you guys have seen my website, but I got a new banner up. Oh boy, that cat looks fierce up there. You guys better watch out, because I'm telling you, the Lynx is about to do some serious things here in 2009. Pretty soon I'll have more pictures of our actual cat, Oksana, a friend of mine who works at a wildlife preserve. He sends me pictures of Oksana, a beautiful tan-color Lynx cat. You can actually see a picture of her right now in the photo section of my website. I actually got some more pictures, which I got to download and put on the site, but that is a beautiful Lynx cat. Hopefully I can get her on the sideline at some of my games. I'm hoping, you know, but I'm kind of hearing Oksana's kind of, you know, she's kind of getting old in age and, you know, very ornery, but maybe I'll be able to get her out there. But in the meantime, like I said, we're looking pretty good as far as the Lynx. So, with that being said, uh, I have to actually cut my show a little short tonight. So, BJ, if you're hearing me, get ready to queue up. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening in. I promise you tomorrow, next week's show will be a lot more exciting. I will have some special guests on. Names will be announced here within the next couple of days. Other than that, you guys, I wish you guys to, I hope everyone has a pleasant evening. California love, baby. You know, go Lynx. To all my sponsors, partners, and affiliates, again, thank you for taking part of being a part of the Lynx family and the WFA. Again, unfortunately, I do have to cut my time a few minutes shorter than normal. Damn. But it is what it is. So have a wonderful night, you guys. God bless. And I'll be talking with you next week.